Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Jumbo, how you doing?
Not too good, John. It's been a very sick week. I haven't felt good, and it's been very hard getting the show out there. So, not feeling too good.
Is it cold or the flu?
No, it's the cold. It's not a flu. Yeah. It's, well, long story short, I feel horrible, but I'll make it a long story because that's what we do here. First of all, remember we recorded a show this week?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what me and John did, and I'm going to release it next week, and I'm sorry, is we did $80 a day at Crescent Lake, which was a good episode.
And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And I was supposed to release it on Thursday, Friday, but I got so sick that, I'll be honest with you, that was the last I got about it. I remembered it this morning when we were getting ready to record, John. That's how smacked I got hit with this.
Oof. Yeah, you forgot about a podcast recording. That means you were really sick.
And the thing that makes me the maddest is we picked on Pat and Dave a lot, and we congratulate them on their 100th episode, which they did a great job, and congratulations, guys. But now there's going to be jokes that are going to be behind this show, and I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I think you'll be okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But congratulations, guys, on your 100th episode, and you'll hear it again on. I'll release the show this week. It'll be a normal Tuesday, Wednesday release. So I apologize. But what happened, John, is I remember Thursday we were recording. I wasn't feeling well. You weren't feeling well. And then the worst part of my job is sanding. And yeah. I sanded all day, off and on all day on Friday. And between this cold and that, it just destroyed me. My head was like ready to explode. And then yesterday morning, we decided we're going to get the Christmas presents. I was feeling okay. Not the Christmas presents, the Christmas decorations out. And I went in the attic. I got them all out and brought them down. But, you know, attic has insulation. So that yep. didn't agree with me. I was in there for a couple hours getting that all out. And I just was, like, so congested and beat up that the last couple days have been horrible. I know I'm whining here, but I remembered the show this morning when I was getting all the material, getting everything set up for today. I'm like, man, I was supposed to cut that and put that out on Friday.
Well.
But yeah. Life happens. I don't miss many yeah. shows, and you guys know that. And we had one recorded, and we always promised to do a Sunday show. It was never supposed to be twice a week. I like doing twice a week, but every once in a while, life gets in the way, and what we're going to try to do is, if we get some free time on it, we're going to try to get a few ahead. But what happens is, we try to stay current. And not to pick on any other shows, because I'm jealous of the way they can record three or four and then release them. But we try to stay current. So as soon as I cut them, as soon as we put them together, I can't wait to get them out. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
John?
The format of our show, where we just kind of spend half of the time rambling about stuff and kind of talking about our lives and our recent trips to Disney or something in the news that's related to Disney, it kind of makes it too current to release 6 months from now. I mean, there's a lot of topics, I guess, we could talk about that would be, you know, always topical. But for the most part, we're always mentioning something that's going on right now. And it would kind of sound odd for us to be talking about football in December or, you know, in February.
Yeah.
So
unless my Eagles win, and then we could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
If that happens, we'll be talking about football for the rest of the – yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing – and you're right, John, and the thing that gets me the worst is like, we could have did the $80 a day Crescent Lake. We've done shows like this, and I do try – like, we do the draft, or when we did we'll do the rankings of the rides. But you guys, we try to stay current, but my problem is I love – all kidding aside, I love Judith, Pat, I love Carmen, I love Jen and Scott, and, you know, Pat, Dave, all the guys, Tim, all the Chuck, all the guys from the Mickey Dudes, and it's hard for me when we talk about certain things that make me think of something, of them, that it's hard for me not to say it. Like, when we talk about the American Avenger, it's hard for me not to trash Pat about not going there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And then getting into, like we just did this week, we were going to do $80 a day Crescent Lake, and I was going to wait till Sunday to congratulate the guys on the 100th episode, but it's hard for me not to because we just talk from our heart mostly on this show. So it's hard right. for me because I'm an idiot. It's hard for me to do shows that we could release way at any time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think Lou calls them evergreen shows or something like that, yeah. where they're always topical and stuff like that. You know? No, I think we're always going to have a habit of mentioning the current prices or the current this that's going on or something like that, even on our weekday shows. So it makes it a little – it would sound awkward to be talking about, you know, my weather in December and March. So.
Yeah, and the thing that's been the problem is – everybody knows I cry. I'm working far away. It ain't that bad. It's just me crying. We all have something to we have to cry about. But, you know, I haven't been feeling good. It's the holidays. We had family and all in, and everybody understands that. It's been nonstop, and it's your busiest time of the year. So it's been hard for us to record. We usually record on Tuesday nights. Tuesday, and then I release them on Wednesday, or Wednesday night release on Thursday. But the last couple weeks, you've been so busy, it's been hard for you to record on Tuesday, Wednesday. And then what happened was, all of a sudden, you'll let me know, I can record tonight, and I already planned on doing something, because it's right. the holiday season.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my first days of the week down in Tampa and Sarasota. And on top of just all the restaurants are busier now, everybody's getting their holiday cakes, the Panettones and Pandoras, which just take up giant amounts of space in my truck. And then the biggest pain in the butt in the world to deliver. But that's how I know it's the holiday season, whenever I see Panettones and Pandoras on my truck. So
yeah, plus you got all the snowbirds back, and the traffic's yep. 10 times worse. But anyway, we're sorry, but the show will be coming out next week. Again, congratulations, guys, on your 100th episode. You'll hear it twice. So good job, guys. And I have a couple things I want to talk about, John, that's on my mind, because that's what we do on this show. You drive all the time, right?
I do.
There you go. It was a no-brainer. You answered it correctly. Good job, John.
Wow. I'm glad I got that off of your mind.
Yeah, I'm riding back at work. And did you used to watch, I don't know if you did when you were a kid, did you watch Arsenio Hall show?
I remember the hoot hoot or whatever yeah. thing they used to do when he came out, but that's yeah. about it, yeah.
Well, he used to have a thing on the show called Things That Make You Go Hoom. Like, that make you... And you driving all the time, you know how they get on you, which you shouldn't do, texting and driving and all, you know, even though cars now are built with TV screens in the dashboard now. Like, that makes me go, why? But you ever, like, these new signs up now, as you're driving down the road, you know the big signs, the advertisement signs?
Yeah, yeah, billboards.
Yeah, the billboards. Don't it drive you nuts? Like, don't it make you think, why is it? They have the digital ones now that actually change. So how many times you driving down the road, you look up at the digital one, and you stare at it because it's changing. You're trying to read it, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm not paying attention to the road. They don't want you texting and driving, but now they're putting TV screens up as you're going up and down the road. Now, does that not make you go make you think about it, like, why? How is that not a problem?
The static billboards that just are the same thing all the time. You can glance at if something's interesting and get the idea really quick. But no, the ones that change, rotate four or five different picture frames. I don't know. Half the time there's something interesting, and then you're like, do I need to slow down a little bit so I can catch it again?
Yeah, don't you find it distracting you?
Yep. Well, it's not only that, Doug. We've got an eye surgery place here in town, and they have one of those signs outside of their place of business. And at night, they have it set up to such a kilowatt level that you turn the corner and it literally blinds you. You know, it happens to be an eye surgery place, so me and my wife debate whether or not they're doing it on purpose,
trying to get you to come in.
But, I mean, it is so, you know, it as you pass it, the lights are so bright that you can't see for literally, you know, a couple of seconds after you pass it, that you've got the, you know, that you know, when your pupils contract and stuff, it's awkward. That's more than distracting. That thing is going to cause an accident. So.
Yeah, it's just, I ride them down the road. I think about you, John, driving. I'm like, you know, they get on us for texting and driving, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And they put TV screens in the cars now, and now they got TV screens on the road. It's like, I don't know. I just find them very, I mean, I admit I read them, but I've also caught myself a couple times, like, not paying attention to the road because I'm doing the rubbernecking, trying to finish reading it as I'm going.
Wait, that's going to turn. What was that about?
Yeah, and I think it works because I think it does that to you because our whole lives now are our phones, iPads, TV screen. You understand? Everything's a flat screen. So I think it's like a fly to a moth. You see something like that, it's like you can't even help yourself. You have to look at it.
Yeah, you're talking about that. The big thing that me and Lisa used to do the day after Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day, I'd go up and get that big giant newspaper on Thanksgiving so she could look through, her and my son at the time could look through the sales, and they had the big Toys R Us book in there when he was young and stuff like that. And we don't even bother anymore. She's already got all the sales and stuff figured out, the, you know, a couple of days before, because nobody looks at newspapers anymore. I can't remember the last time I did buy a newspaper.
Now, that's one of the things I miss. I remember at Disney, especially we started staying at the where you stayed at the Swan and Dolphin, you get the paper. They say it's for free, but it's part of that whole parking package that you pay for.
Yeah.
You get free newspaper, but forgot to tell you, there's a $20 a day fee for parking and news, and that's the afterthought. But you know, I used to love, and even at Disney there for a while. I don't know if you remember, I would go down to the. In the morning when I get the breakfast and all, I would grab the newspaper and bring it back to the room. And then at the Swan and Dolphin, they used to have the newspaper outside the door, the USA Today. I used to love reading that while I was waiting for Brenda to get ready. I'd go out on the balcony and just chill in the morning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, some of my memories as a kid when I grew up, I used to love Sunday mornings. When I was an older kid, probably teenager, I would get up Sunday morning and read almost the entire Sunday paper and then watch NFL all afternoon. So it was good times. So.
Yeah, back when you had no troubles, no worries,
no obligations. You're correct.
And staying on that topic, that's the other thing that's making me go home. I go walking through. We're doing this beautiful. I mean, this Firestone Library is gorgeous that we're redoing up in Princeton, and it's old. It makes me think of how did our forefathers build these places? Like, and I tell my and I feel like an old man when I'm telling my godsons and all. Like when we're working together, because when I started, and I never thought I'd be this guy, but I am. When I started, we didn't have sawzalls and right angle drills and, you know, what you call it, multi-tools and, you know, all these tools that, John, when I tell you if I started now, I wouldn't have the half ache and pains that I do. I mean,
when
we got in the building, it was hand saws and sledgehammers. Now you get in there with that sawzall and the multi-tool, it cuts everything out. Like doing a tile floor, you got the multi-tool that you can go down and just cut the doorstops like nothing. I still remember doing that with my uncle. I'd be laying on my side with a side saw, hand saw, trying to cut. You know, I'd be screaming and yelling for a half hour cutting them. But and then I think about what our forefathers did building these buildings, and I look at it, I'm just amazed how beautiful like some of the old doors and stuff are in these. Like, they have the cottage style. You remember Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah.
Know how when they went to the cottages of those houses, they had, like, the pointed, rounded, pointed doors on them and all these the gorgeous doors on all the cottages and stuff, John?
Yeah, they're in the Shire.
Yeah, and all these doors and all these buildings, just looking at what our ancestors did and stuff like that, I don't know how they did it with the tools that they had.
Yeah, it's quite impressive in the amount of time and effort that would have went into making something like that. Do you notice when you go through that, are the rooms or the doorways and stuff a little smaller?
Oh, absolutely.
Rumor always had it. Yeah, that people were a little shorter back in that time. So.
Oh, they are. That's my one thing. That's my one thing I keep saying about basketball. I think the thing that ruined basketball is all the players are too tall now. No, I've called my local sports station, and some have agreed, some thought I'm nuts, which I'm okay with people thinking I'm nuts because I basically am. But I think that they – know how in the NHL they made the rings bigger? they've stretched the rings in most hockey because of the players are so much bigger. They made the rings bigger.
Right.
Back in the day, the Spectrum ice used to be a lot smaller. The Boston Garden, they had smaller arenas. They went to more European style arenas. They opened up the ice in the National Hockey League.
And to go with that same thing, the NFL backed up the extra point thing from what it used to be 20 to 30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, they sports changed some of the stuff to make it a little tougher as people get better. So.
And the thing I thought with the NBA, they ought to raise the rim a foot.
Oh, there you go.
Because nobody shoots anymore. It's either three-pointers or slam dunks. The middle game and a lot of the guys, and I know none of our listeners want to hear this, but that was my logic because everybody can slam now. It's like they're so big. It's like we got a 6'10 point guard. Back when I was a kid, except for Magic Johnson, the point guard was lucky to be 6 foot. Mo Cheeks was – he said he was 6'1". He was 5'11".
I can see Doug going to that new NBA experience at Disney Springs saying, let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. But the point I was making about the newspapers and everything else like that and how beautiful this Firestone Library is, I walk through the library every day, John. And there's millions of books. There's collectible books. It's a beautiful place. I walk through, and the kids are back in session now because we started there. I was there at the end of spring, all summer long, all the way till now. All the kids are back in school. I walk through this library. You know how many books I've seen open?
Probably 5.
I haven't counted one yet. Except for the register book. I mean, I walk through, the kids are either on their phones, on a tablet, or on a laptop sitting in the library. They're all in chairs with their laptops out.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. Here in my public library, I go there to get my audiobooks for my truck a lot of times. I'll get the CDs out, stuff like that. If you go in there, there's always a line at the public library, but it's not to get books. It's not to get audio CDs. It's to use the computer. That's the only thing people are waiting in line there for. Or there's people hanging out using the free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so, well, that's what these kids are
doing. Nobody's browsing the books.
No, that's what these kids are doing. I mean, every once in a while, I'll see them up and down the aisles, you know, some of them. I mean, I'm lying. I did see one gentleman reading in front of me, and he was like swaying like a drunk driver down the hallway trying to get around them because he's reading while walking, you know. But I don't know. I just we're redoing this, and it's going to be gorgeous and beautiful, but it's like the books, it's just basically a place for the books to stay. We're redoing the place for the books, not the kids.
Yeah, the books are for the most part collector items now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a Kindle, and then I've got Kindle loaded on my tablet and on my phone, and I'll have a book there every once in a while. And actually, I read several books on there, but I got to the point where I prefer paper. So actually, I went back to reading just normal books. And now that everybody else is into digital formats and stuff, to get a regular paperback or a hardback, it's really incredibly cheap at most places. So.
Yeah, I like to. I've read the Walt Disney book a couple times, a couple different Disney books out on my side porch. I'd rather have the book myself, you know, in my
especially
hand.
Especially when it's something like that.
When it's a
Disney one and you've got a lot of color photographs and stuff like that, it's a lot nicer to have an actual book in front of you rather as opposed to some kind of digital format, you know.
So. It's hard to explain. You feel like you accomplish something after you end it and close it. You can't do that with the Kindle. Now you close it after the last page is read, you get that effect shutting the book. You can't do that with the Kindle. So. But anyway, another thing this weekend, John, that I tried, but I didn't get to really – I enjoyed it, but I could only enjoy one. Our friends over at Victory, which I've seen you texting the other day, and we'll go there later. But anyway, they have a Winter Cheers out. It's a wheat ale, and it was pretty good. It kind of reminded me of the Golden Monkey a little bit.
A little that type of flavor in it?
Yeah. It was a little, and it was very good. It's only 6.7% alcohol. It don't give you the kick like the Monkey does, but it was good. My wife enjoyed it. She took a couple sips of it, and I'll put a picture out of it on the old interwebs after we're done the show today. But it was pretty good.
Well, 6.7 still a little stouter than your regular Bud Light or Coors Light and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's very good. I think you'd like it. Do you like wheat ales?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah, it's called Winter Cheers by our friends over at Victory, and I enjoyed it. I have to try every new one they come out with.
If I can find anything, I think the only stuff I found down here is the Golden Monkey, the Dirt Wolf, and one other one. So yeah, I don't have a giant selection here. And at Disney, I think the only one they even carry anywhere is probably the Golden Monkey. So.
No, I don't know. I enjoyed I enjoyed it. Like I said, still the Hellas is my favorite, but and I like the Prima, the original one that our good friend Bill talked about, the
right,
very first
right.
one they came out with. I enjoy that, and the other favorite is that Oktoberfest. That was awesome. The Festivier.
Yeah, see, I haven't found any of those.
Their Oktoberfest beer was phenomenal. That was right there with the Hellas for me. I mean, I might even liked it a hair better than the Hellas, that lager.
Well, that gives you something to look forward to come next late August, September. You'll be looking for that Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I got tied up. Not literally. Don't think there's something going on over here. But I meant to go buy. I was going to go buy a case of it, warm it, and just keep it to have it around
right.
the house. And by the time I got back, it was gone.
Yeah.
Which was very sad. But you want to get on with some news, John, being you've been gabbing this whole beginning
of
the show?
Yeah, since I'm
gabbing, complaining. But anyway, go ahead, Johnny. Give us our first news if that laptop of yours is not on the fritz like my voice is.
I'm going to try, so let's see if it'll do it.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Try to bring up the annual pass holder one. I'll do the Varsity Spirit Spectacular. Varsity Spirit Spectacular taking place today and tomorrow at the Magic Kingdom. It's actually the first and the second, so we missed it. But anyway, the Magic Kingdom, yeah, look at us. But anyway, I'm glad we weren't there, John. They had around 400 cheerleaders and dancers across the country will be taking part in a pre-parade march stepping off in Frontierland at 1:30 a.m. So this is all for the Christmas show.
Okay.
Yeah, both events were organized by Disney's Performing Arts. So if you guys were there, if cheerleaders your thing, you got 400 of them yesterday and the day before. So.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, when you're 16, 17, that wasn't a bad thing. But when you're an adult and you've got 400 chanting girls going on one ride at the same time, it can get a bit irritating. So.
Well, we had that a couple Februarys ago. It was probably about now, 6-7 years ago. We had my godson down there, and we're in Hollywood Studios, and it was during February when they were having the cheer competitions.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It was like I thought I was going to have to go get one of those leashes that you put on your three-year-old and tie him up and drag him around the park behind me.
I'm surprised he even hung out with you. No. I'm good. You can leave me right here. I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
We went into the kitchen store and got a couple towels so I could wipe the drool off his lip all day long. I mean, and I felt bad for the kid because the kid does have game. I will give him. He has game. He's a chip off the old block. He don't take after his father. He takes after his uncle. He has game. I'm kidding. But anyway, I felt bad, though, because he had no wingman. If he'd had a wingman down there, he could have had a good time. But he was outnumbered way too much. You know, it's not bad going up to a group of two or three girls when you had to go up to a group of 100.
Where do you even start, right? I mean,
yeah, you just lose.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he did. It was funny watching him. Did you get the annual pass holder up?
I did. All right. So celebrate the holidays at Disney's Hollywood Studios and pick up a special holiday magnet. This pass holder gift is available December 1st through December 17th, 2017 at the following retail locations: Mickey's of Hollywood, Celebrity Five and Dime, and Once Upon a Time.
So, you want to go get it?
Yeah. I'm going to swing by next Saturday after work and head over to Hollywood Studios and grab. I'll see if I can grab one for Lisa too, but probably just me. Usually you have to have the person there and an ID and stuff like that. Yeah, this might be the one of the last pass holder things that I'm able to get because my pass expires February 22nd, I think. So
now I wonder if you, as a cast member, if they give you any of that stuff.
There's a lot of stuff you have to buy. I mean, there's a store at Disney University. There's a store at Hollywood Studios. There's a store at Magic Kingdom and at Epcot that's called Now I forgot. Heck, I forgot the name of it. Anyhow, it's backstage and it's all just cast member stuff. There's some, actually, I'll take a picture of some of the stuff that I bought last weekend. I've got the, you know, cast member magnet now. I found a backpack that has cast member on, cast member worldwide travel company. So that's gonna be my new bag for work and stuff. And then I found a only cast member only T-shirt that has Figment and the Dreamfinder on the front of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. The one that, the shirt that I really wanted, it on the back it has, you know, the sign when you get on an attraction that has two stick figures. It looks like an adult and a kid, and they're it's got the flash mark through it, and it says, "Please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times." Me, every time me and my son would get on an attraction, we'd always pose like that, and my wife would take a picture. So, you know, I've got a gob of them, of just me and him pose like that. And that actually, they actually had that on the back of the T-shirt with a guy saying, "Please keep your hands and legs inside the vehicle at all times." But they didn't have my size. So that's the shirt I really wanted. So. But yeah,
you should have bought the you should have put the shirt and put it in the frame and put it up in the office.
Yeah, I guess I could have done that, but
yeah, for as cheap as you can get it for.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. We had one of our gift in our gift pack that we got. We had 35% off of any merchandise bought at those stores, so I got 35% off the T-shirt, the backpack, and the magnet. So it was a good deal.
You can't beat that. Now, what I got to find when I get back down there is I want to get a couple cool stickers for my hard hat. I want some stickers to put on my hard hat because we dress our hard hats up, and I just got a new one, and I have Eagle stuff that I've had the old one. The old one, but the old one, it kind of – I don't know if you know this, but hard hats have expiration dates on them, believe it or not.
What's that, the plastic corrodes – or not corrodes, but I guess
it's a – it loses its integrity, they say. I don't buy it. It seems as hard to me as the other one. but the bottom line is after a while they lose their integrity, and mine was old and here it fell off my head about 30 feet up in the air and kind of shattered a little bit. So I had to get a new one, and it's kind of bare, so I want to get this one here. I want to dress it up with some, because everybody knows me as the Disney idiot, basically. Idiot, I just added Disney to it, but they all know me as the Disney idiot on the job site. So I want to get a couple cool Disney stickers. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe when me and you go to that, you know, check that place out, I'll see if I can find a few.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, that's the other store. Those stores I just told you about, that's specific cast member merchandise, and then the other store, that's just like your store that you stop at in St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different store, and it just has merchandise from the parks that's been discontinued, maybe, or is just on sale.
Well,
so yeah, it's funny, that store, I found a phone case in there that is actually still being sold in the parks for $34.95, and it was on sale there for $16.99. Yeah. So go figure, right?
Yeah,
so
you did good. Speaking of good, did you see the Reflection on Earth, the new edition of it, the 2017 edition?
We've seen it one time. I don't know if it was a... the holiday edition.
They have a new edition for 2017. It's good. It's really good. I've watched it on the TV here. It seems a little different than the last one, but I haven't been down for Christmas in it's been a while. So I don't know if it's changed or just that I haven't seen it in a while, but it's really good. I suggest you guys go over. You'll have to drag Lisa over to Epcot to see it.
Yeah, if I have to really talk her into getting her over there. So yeah, I don't work next week. Or no, I do work next weekend. The weekend after, I don't. So I think we'll have to head out. So
even if you just hang over there and see it. You guys see that Chef Theo? I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Skoniger?
Skoniger named as executive chef of New Italian Concepts, Maria and Enzo's Restaurante and Enzo's Hideaway Tunnel Bar at the Springs. Did you read that article?
Yeah, I see it. You want me to hit it?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Patina Restaurant Group has today announced the appointment of Chef Theo Skoniger as executive chef.
Now, not to cut you off real quick, is this the guy you kind of know?
No, my my buddy is going to be the head receiver there.
Okay.
So, or one of the head receivers. So he's probably going to know this guy.
Well,
so.
I'll see if you can get him to get us an interview with him.
Yep. Yeah, that's I've got his new number and everything. So he starts tomorrow.
So, how's your pasta going to be? And what the kind of meatballs you going to serve? Is it sound good, John?
That sounds good, but I don't know if Theo Schoeniger sounds as Italian as I would think it would be, right?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. What is a meatballs a taste like, but we'll see. Go ahead, Johnny.
It's a new Italian concept, Maria Ninzo's Ristorante and Enzo's Hideaway Tunnel Bar, opening this winter at Disney Springs. One of the most influential Italian chefs in New York history, I guess we're wrong, or I was, Theo's cooking at San Domenico and Palio set the standard for authentic Italian fine dining. A rare chef with versatility to do rustic, more casual food and also elegant Michelin-level cuisine, Schoeniger is at the top of his game. Now with these new Disney restaurants, he will shift his focus to Sicilian and Roman cuisine.
Now, Schoeniger, I don't want to cut – hold on. Nope. When I'm helping you read, there's a problem on this show. You do know this. When I'm helping you sound out the word, there's an issue.
Hey, so, versatility got me stuck there for a minute. I don't know. I wasn't very versatile in saying it. So.
Go ahead now.
Schoeniger comes to Orlando from Las Vegas, where he most recently was executive chef at Sinatra, an Italian fine dining restaurant located at Wynn, Las Vegas. There he served a modern twist on classical Italian cooking that included many of Frank Sinatra's personal favorites. Schoeniger originally cooked these dishes for the legendary singer when living in New York, including spaghetti with clams and
ossobuco.
Prior to his work in Vegas, Schoeniger spent 4 years at the helm of Patina Restaurant Group's signature location, Patina, located at the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. The four-star restaurant allowed him to combine his Italian roots with traditional French technique and modern execution. There he received rare reviews from the Los Angeles Times, received a Michelin star, and a Aurelius in Chateau rating. Only two restaurants in Los Angeles have received this honor. While in California, he embraced cooking with wide-ranging ingredients while keeping dishes contemporary and innovative.
Now, I wonder if our good buddy Robbie, he's eaten everywhere else. I mean, Victorian Albert's is like, what did he eat at Victorian Albert's on the last trip? Three times, was it?
Three times and a stop at the bar, just
lighting his cigars with hundreds. Yeah, our buddy Robbie out there. I wonder if he's enjoyed this place. Had the honor of sitting down and breaking bread here. We have to find out.
Yeah, eating at the actual Patina place.
So. Yeah, I'm sure he'll let us know.
Schoeniger has traveled all over the U.S. cooking in various kitchens, including Aquaria in Palm Beach and Rock Center Cafe in New York. In 1986, he was a young chef that had the opportunity of a lifetime. He moved from Italy to Midtown Manhattan to work for legendary restaurateur Tony May at Palo and San
Domenico,
two of the premier Italian restaurants in the country. He showcased his passion for Italian cuisine and set the bar for future chefs who still use his recipes today.
That man makes me feel good. He's older than me. I graduated in 86, so he must have a couple years on me, so I feel he's an old man.
Raised in San Candido, Italy, Schoeniger recounts working on his family's farm and cooking in the kitchen with his mother. Growing up in the mountains, his mother taught him about utilizing what they had locally and showcasing the natural flavors of the ingredients. To this day, he credits his mother as being the most influential cook of his entire career and feels he inherited her passion for food. Schoeniger will now incorporate his knowledge and technique for Italian cuisine, leading the culinary teams at Maria Enzo's and Enzo's Hideaway Tunnel Bar. The new restaurants will bring a casual elegance to Disney Springs with a blend of star ingredients embedded in elaborate multi-part compositions while keeping the simplicity they demand. Presentation and service will include varieties of amuse-bouche upon being seated, a vast selection of fine Italian wines, tableside preparation and service. Guests will experience dishes like Melanzane Parmigiana, eggplant parmesan, and handmade pasta such as bucciati con granaccio, spiral pasta with crab. Wow.
Just say Sicilian baked pasta.
Yeah,
served tableside. Other dishes will include fresh fish, richly flavored steaks and chops. Maria and Enzo's and Enzo's Hideaway Tunnel Bar are slated to open during this winter, so they should be open by the time we're there. Let me give you a little trick, John. I would have never read the other ones. I'd have said eggplant parm, pasta with crab, and Sicilian baked pasta. I wouldn't even try to pronunciate all the other words. You know what I'm saying?
I deliver a lot of that stuff, but those are ones that I've never delivered, so I can't say those. So, hey.
No, but I'm looking forward to trying this. This, you know, I mean, we've talked a million times. The thing is, we got great Italian food here. So when we go down there, and we can't eat, we eat a lot of seafood. We're on vacation because we don't eat a lot at home all the time with mom being allergic to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we have to cook two meals. We usually have our seafood on the weekends. It isn't like she's allergic to it to the point where she gets ill. We'd have to get, she would be sick. It just don't agree with her, if you follow me. So
right.
It ain't like somebody with a peanut allergy that you got to definitely be afraid of getting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be scary.
But no, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, there's so many things opening up in the Springs. It's ridiculous. You know, piggybacking off that, did you see, the new Edison is up now. The signage is up for the Edison.
Well, that's cool.
So, I mean, I'm excited. That building looked absolutely awesome. That's one of the ones I would really like to try.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. The only problem that I'm going to have going to any of these places in the evening would be Lisa's sensitivity to music and stuff like that. That's why we've never tried Paradiso, because it, especially after Dennis said it was so loud in there, and that's basically why we've stayed away from Raglan Road too, is because it drives her nuts. So hopefully, and I think Edison's supposed to have some kind of funky DJ going in the evening or something like that. So
yeah, it's saying, because this is all part of it. So I mean, the Patino Group, it's Patino Restaurant Group is also offering you a chance to win an exclusive guided walking tour of Mario and Enzo's Hideaway, Pizza Punt, and Edison's prior to the grand opening later this winter. So, I mean, this whole area, I'm excited about the whole thing opening down here. But the signage is up.
Yeah, and it looks really cool. It's a big, big tower in front of that restaurant. So, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Patino Group own half of Disney Springs now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Are they Boathouse or Paddlefish, or one of those two too, right?
Yeah, and they're the new the restaurant right next to the Paddlefish is one of the new ones here.
Yep, that, and then they own basically the Italian Pavilion out at Epcot. So hey.
Yeah, they're all over the place now, and they also ain't they the same owners of the Yak and Yeti?
No, that's isn't that Darden or?
No, I think Yak and Yeti is Patino. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, that's because it's Yak and Yeti, T Rex, and Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah,
and they're all owned by somebody else.
Yeah, because they're the ones I called to get the mango pie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you got the next story here, John? You want to read this so I can get angry? 4:30 close at the Magic Kingdom. This was 3 days ago, but it was on November 30th, but this is the stuff that drives me nuts.
You can't be too mad at it because of the reason why they're closing early. So, 4:30 p.m. close at Magic Kingdom on Thursday, November 20th, 2017.
No, I'm not mad at that.
Okay. Due to a private event for cast members celebrating milestone service anniversaries, Magic Kingdom today is closing at 4:30 p.m. And now, again, that was on Thursday. It's open until 9:30, Studios 8 p.m., and Animal Kingdom at 8 p.m. So.
But I'm glad they all you cast members. Maybe you don't deserve to be honored yet. You ain't been down there. It's the Landry Group that owns the Yak and Yeti. That's where Patino Landry. Yeah. It all sounds the same to me. But anyway, the bottom line is I get it and I'm happy that they do this. But I'm just wondering if again. And this is where our buddy Dave, you need, and all these other people, you need to make your plans. Blah blah blah. Well, look at our week that just got away from us. You know, could you imagine, John? You know what it was like growing up with your kid, right? Just one. Imagine having three or four kids, and you're planning on going to Disney World. Do you think you'd know that the park's going to close at Thursday at 4:30?
Probably not.
No, I mean, half the people, they just get guided. And I'm just saying, if you showed up there that morning and then got booted out, I know, shame on you for not paying attention. Because I know people like Dave, and we've had a couple others I won't name. I just like naming Dave because he's a troublemaker, but I love him. But the thing of it is people like him will say, well, you should do your homework. You should pay attention. But, Dave, you're single, buddy. You don't have nobody else. You don't have other people you're really, like, stressed over. You're not being guided around by the rest of your – you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of – some people just don't pay attention to that stuff. I mean, like, how many times have you not shoot, my car needs to be registered? You know, things in life go by. Am I wrong, John?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That things absolutely slip your mind, and especially you're at Disney. And even if you're used to, okay, maybe there's a Christmas party, it'll close at 7. No, 4:30 is extremely early for the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. So
my point is, it's things like this that I know would end up. I know, and I know I cry and people complain about it, but the point is, I bet you half the people that were there that day didn't know it closed at 4:30.
I'd say more than half. I'd say probably 70% of them had no idea, or at least until they had signs up at the front gate. But if you were just planning to show up, I would think 60-70% of the people wouldn't have any idea that was closing it. Because, I mean, you would have thought we would have talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't even see anything.
You're a cast member and didn't know nothing about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't even see that backstage until last weekend was the day that they were having that party. So.
I've seen nothing about it until this week.
I think maybe Disney knows they're going to do it sometime in November, December, but I think they wait until they see what the crowd expectations are and stuff like that, and then they pick a day that doesn't look like it's going to be very crowded, and then they shove it on that day type
thing. Yeah, but I think they also have to give the cast members adequate time to be able to do this and to inform them that they're going to be and changing the shifts for people to cover the people that are going to be there.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, when I get to that point, I'll have to request a day off to be able to go to it. So I would need to know quite a month in advance or so. So
that's what I'm saying. But nothing was released. We're on the boards. We're on Twitter. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but John, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and I'm online all the time. Did you say anything prior to this week of this?
Nope. Like I said, the first I saw of anything about it was on last Saturday when I showed up at work, and they had a poster in the back.
Yeah, and if you don't read these websites,
that was the first I had seen anything about it.
Yeah, and if you don't read these websites and fly down there or going on your trip, if all you're doing is going and you go down there and you scheduled, what if you had dinner planned for that night at the parks? I hope Disney informed you that you ain't allowed to go.
Well, yeah, we were supposed to be our guest at 7. No, you're not.
I mean, I guess it would have been if you tried to get dinner for that night, the cast member would have told you there's no availability. They probably had it blocked out. But the point is, if you were headed there that day and your whole week's planned out, I mean, these are the things that I say. These are the things that if you just had park hopper, period, and that's it. Just make the price to where it's – I mean, face it, we're already paying the King's Ransom to go anyway. Just make it easier. That's my point. I'm not saying to give it to them, but just make it as part of the ticket. Figure out what you got to charge Disney and just make every ticket a park hopper ticket. I mean, do you agree with that?
I do. But you've been preaching that for I think 4 years now. So sooner or later, maybe they'll hear you. I hope so.
Yeah, because how cool would it be? And I'm sorry, John, I cut you off again because of my big mouth. But how cool would it be if you're just a couple young guys or girls and you're just going through one day, you're headed down the Keys, you decide to stop for 1-2 days and you're just going to go park one day. If you did the 4 parks in one day, if you're young, and you went to the Animal Kingdom, did Kilimanjaro in the morning and Expedition Everest, then left there and went and did Tower of Terror. You know, you tried to make a day of getting all the major rides in. I mean, don't you think that should be able to be out to be done on a one-day ticket?
Yeah, it would just cost you about $140 to do it now, but...
Yeah, but the point of it is, for $140, you should be able to go anywhere the heck you want.
Yeah.
For the day. Sorry I cut you off, John.
That's all right. No, I was just going to say that if they were going to do Park Hopper for All, I think they would have done it when the construction started at Hollywood Studios, because I can't imagine the amount of people that they had upset... You know, just with the total lack of things going on there. I mean, we've talked about it before. How would you stretch Hollywood Studios into a full day right now?
For us, it's hard. I mean, for somebody that's never been, you could probably get most of the day if you did everything.
If you did every show, if you did every attraction.
Yeah, if you never seen Indiana Jones or Beauty and the Beast, and you did both Tower Toy Story, or both, all three Tower Toy Story and Rock and Roller Coaster, and you couldn't get fast passes, so you had to wait online for a couple, because we don't do that no more.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? So if you had to do that, and then you did Muppets and Star Tours and One Man's Dream, you could probably get, you could get a full day. But for repeat offenders, no, you couldn't.
Yeah, it would be hard, that's for sure.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, they need to adjust something. I don't know. Things are getting excited. Did you see the Disney the show on TV on ABC Thursday?
No, I've got it recorded. I haven't watched it yet.
They showed you some really cool things for Toy Story Land, so I'm really excited about that. I mean, it's getting more and more real. Now it has me upset because I'm coming down in March, and it's going to be open in the summer. How am I going to get back down there that quick?
We'll see if Doug ends up going, well, we'll just push it back until July, and then all of a sudden you'll be a year behind on your trip, right?
No, I can't do that. Yeah, I need to get down there.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll try to get back again. And the Candlelight Processionals kicked off. Lori Hernandez, you know who she is?
I'm going to say she was an Olympic gold medalist.
Very good. You did know something about pop culture besides it being Disney or Star Wars. I'm proud of you. Disney, Star Wars, or football. And anything else, I think it's 50-50. You're going to know it, John.
Yeah, if it's music, I'm out of it, and I have no clue. So.
But, yeah, she kicked off the Candlelight Processional, and I can't wait to see that again. That was one of the things I was looking forward to checking out. The long-awaited reopening of the Magic Kingdom's Hall of Presidents will take place before Christmas, according to sources familiar with the matter. Originally expected to close from January 17th through June 29th. I think they're a little late.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, the show has remained closed throughout the year. Speculations in the media has suggested there were various issues with the White House taking part in the attraction, with Disney move quickly to dispel. So I don't want to get into the whole statement, but, you know, because we don't get political on the show. Because if we did, I'd probably even be in more trouble than I already am. So, but the Hall of Presidents is supposed to be opening very soon. So I'm looking forward to seeing her. Are you?
I am too. I love the Hall of Presidents. So, and I always have to see it when there's a new inductee into it. I've heard other people mention this, and not being political at all, but wouldn't it be cool if after you got out of that show, you got
you broke up.
I don't
up,
know.
John,
somehow
repeat
they took
yourself.
A picture of
John,
you.
John, you broke up. Oh, okay. Repeat yourself.
All right, Matt. You got me?
Yes.
Okay. I said, wouldn't it be cool if after you watched the Hall of Presidents show, just based on President Trump's tendency to tweet stuff, if you got a picture of the crowd watching the show, and then that went out on some kind of Hall of Presidents tweet, you know, something that indicated that you were watching that. I don't know. That would bring it closer and more realistic to our current president's tendency to tweet everything. So I think it'd be kind of cool. So.
Well, he likes to tweet. I will say that. And the Vice report is inaccurate. Because they were saying that they were having problems with the White House to get this done. As we stated, President Trump, because they also said that they didn't want him speaking either, which, you know, as he would say, fake news. In a Vice report, it is inaccurate. We are stated President Trump will have a speaking role in the Hall of President like every other president since 1993. We have been working closely with the White House, and the president's recording session has been scheduled. We have repeatedly stated that the attraction will reopen in late 2017. I'm looking forward to seeing it because it's one of my favorite things in all the parks. It was one of the things that made me fall in love with Disney.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're not going to go see it because you disagree with the president, then you're on the same thing as the people that wouldn't go see it when Barack Obama got put into it. So, I mean, you take it for what it is. It's about the presidency. It's not necessarily about Barack Obama or Donald Trump. It's about the actual highest, you know, office in our land. So look at it that way, if you can.
Well, the bottom line is, you know, he's your president, and if you're not happy either way, I'll be honest with you, John. I have had many times in my life I voted the other way, and the president I wanted wasn't the president. But after that's all said and done, he's my president, and I respect it. If you I do the best I can. I hope every president is the best president we ever had. If you understand, I pray for them, and I hope that they do the best job they can. And anything else is just, it just, I don't know. It's, how would you put it? It's just counterproductive, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I was in the Navy, we were in there, and one of the first things we did at boot camp, one of an old chief came in. And he was telling us all the things we're going to have to do. And he said, look, I don't really care if you like me. You don't even have to respect me as a person. You will respect the uniform.
Exactly.
It's the same type of thing. So, you know.
Yeah. I just like the fact of, you know, he's your president. And if you watch TV and the media, they're a bad influence. No matter how much they dislike or it bothers me when they just call him Trump. And even if you don't like him or not, don't disrespect him. You know, I mean, and that's the point. It would be, you know, I go to my doctor's office. I don't call him Larry. I call him doctor. Even if I don't like him, he's still a doctor. You understand what I'm saying? He earned that.
Yeah.
I just think it's ignorant, and I think it teaches ignorance to our kids. Even if you disagree with him, still announce him the way he is. Do you disagree with that?
No, not at all. But that disrespect, it goes back many years. I mean, I remember bumper stickers when President Bush was the president, and then there were bumper stickers that said there's a village in Texas missing an idiot or something like that.
Yeah, it's just
wrong.
And then
there was one that I saw in town here that had, the Calvin and Hobbes peeing on different things. This guy had a sticker of Calvin peeing on friggin' Obama. So, I mean, I don't know where the respect for the president has gone, but it's gone.
No, it's just we all have to be better. You know, I respect whoever is what my point is, and that's the way it should be. But anyway, go to the Hall of Presidents and respect all of our presidents, because if you disagree or don't – if you agree or disagree with them, they still – they did what they thought was best for us, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know. They tried. We do have a great country. We have the best country in the world, in my opinion. So even though you get aggravated or PO'd with one side or the other, see, my opinion is, and I'll end it here, I think whoever becomes president, the loser should have to be vice president. So they have to work together. So anything you said or did, you're stuck with that person for the next 4 years.
You have to get up and look at him every day.
you understand what I'm saying? So, and then both parties are in the house. So if God forbid something happens to one, the other, in my opinion, they were the best two people for the job, right or wrong, is what the country said. So none against the vice president now. I am going to get into my feelings either way about Mr. Pence, but Mr. Pence wasn't who the second best was supposed to be. Hillary, am I right or wrong? They're the two that was up there for election. So I think this country deserves to have the second best as vice president. And
can
I think
you see
it would
them
stop
two doing something together.
But the bottom line is they would have to. They're there for us. I don't care what they think about each other. They're there for me and you, John. Ain't they represent us, don't they?
That's the truth. So
if they have to work together for the 4 years, don't you think a lot of this he say, she say stuff would have been not there?
Yeah, probably.
It wouldn't be as bad. Both parties would have to work together. I think that's the way it should be. The loser should have to be vice president. And like I said, if God forbid something happens, the second choice is the best choice, right or wrong. Nobody even heard of Pence until he was taken into vice president. And I don't have any ill will towards you, man. I ain't saying it's good or bad. My point is, if you had the best two, it's what's best for the country.
Well, that's an interesting idea, that's for sure.
No, but that's my thoughts. Anyway, let's get off the political podcast and head back to the news. Did you see our good buddy, what he did? Our good buddy Dan, which Bob took from his report on episode 410. If you head over to the website, it talks about Dennis's little stay at the STK Steakhouse. It gives you a link to go back and listen to Dennis's review on the STK. And Bob also you did a couple, a fine article for us on this year's food and holidays around the world. I almost called it food and wine Christmas edition. That's what it
might
should
as well.
It should
might
be
well.
Food and wine Christmas edition.
Yep. You got that posted for me. I tried the sauerbraten, and we talked about it last week. The sauerbraten and the roasted pork or roasted turkey. So
head over there. There's some pictures. Bob does a great job. Head over to our website. He has gravitated to Epcot's holiday celebration, folks. Bob likes to use the word folks, and I don't up here in the north. But folks, that always gets me when he calls them folks. I call everybody buddy.
No, that's, I guess that is a Southern thing, or, yeah, or at least a South thing, because that's what I call everybody coming into the attractions. Hey, good morning, folks. Good morning. Come on in, folks.
Yeah, well, I only hear folks when you or Bob say it. We hear, get your butt in here up here in the north.
You guys, come on, guys. Yeah,
come on, guys. How you doing? Good morning. How you doing? But anyway, there's a whole list of the menus and everything going on in all the holiday kitchens, which you said was a really good time.
It was. I'm going to get back over there, and I want to try that that holiday beer flight. I'm going to try to catch, if I can't get into Candlelight Procession, I at least want to stand outside and hear some of the music and stuff like that, and then catch Illumination. So that's my goal.
Did you see the trailer yet for the new Infinity War, the Avengers?
No, I haven't.
It looks really good, dude. Go check that out. That's exciting coming out. Tokyo Disney Resort to spend $2.7 billion on further expansion by 2025. They're spending some money over there, aren't they?
They sure are. Is that a whole new park, or is that just an expansion of the existing parks?
I don't know. I think it's an expansion of the existing park. I don't know. They might be doing the Avengers over here. Hold on.
I know that.
Billion, it's 300 billion yen by, and which is 2.7 billion American dollars. Construction of new areas that will expand the existing park by 30%. So, it looks like it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, that Disney Sea Park has got to be one of the most interesting parts. I mean, it looks, from everything I've seen, it's a totally different type of park than anything that we're used to, with different attractions and just a whole different look to it. So yeah. I'd love to go to that at some point.
Yeah, right now they're already announced such as Fantasyland expansion, Soarin', and more. So there's a lot going on over there in Tokyo Disney. But a $2.7 billion expansion, that's a pretty big expansion.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And did you hear that Disney is trying to buy the possible acquisition? Disney and Fox are meeting again to discuss the possible acquisition of Fox by Disney. They're trying to buy that again. That's been a never-ending story, hasn't it?
Yeah. Apparently, they can't agree on a price or something. Or I guess what all Disney gets, because there's been different rumors that they get everything. They only get select stuff, so that must be the issue.
Yeah, they're in a bidding war right now, the rumors are, with Comcast and Verizon. So good luck on that, Disney. talking about three big ones going at it. You know, that ought to be very interesting. I wonder if they're buying it for, more access for the parks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that channel they're looking to do.
Yeah, and Fox did, didn't they do the first couple of Spider-Mans and stuff like that? So.
Yeah, I think so, Johnny. But I think they're trying to get it for that whole, that YouTube, or not YouTube, like the Disney Netflix they plan on doing.
Oh, yeah. If that's a decent price, I'll be jumping on that, because ability to watch any Disney movie at any given time, whatever I want, that sounds like a winner to me. So.
Now, did you hear that the giant at popcorn bucket arrives at Disney Parks on November 28th?
Supposedly it's at Disneyland. We haven't seen them at Hollywood Studios yet, but they're supposed to be coming, so that's my other mission for next week. My wife has already decreed that I'm buying one for her, I'm buying one for my sister-in-law, probably my son wants one, so, yeah.
This week, too, the Trader Sam's, John, or our buddy Pat will be interested in this. Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar releasing Jingle Cruise elephant mug this week. It has a Santa hat on it.
Oh, cool.
That looks really cool. I want to see that.
Does it say what drinks inside of it?
I could try to read it for you, John. You had to ask after I switched screens.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it again now. You got me going back and forth here now, John. I was on a roll too, buddy.
I'm sorry. You were hitting it all cylinders and I just messed you up.
Yes, I was, and it's rare that I'm hitting on all cylinders, buddy. There we go. I just clicked the button. Let's see if it goes. You know how the computer loves to mess me up here. Beginning 11:30 beginning on 11:30 at 7 a.m. John, you could have got wrecked at 7 a.m.
No, yeah, I don't think so.
You could get your very own first edition holiday elephant tiki mug from Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. This is only at the Disneyland Hotel right now, so our buddy Robbie can get it. The Jingle Cruise may be gone in California, but its spirit still lives. So, Robbie, go get yourself one of these.
So they have the Jingle Cruise here in Florida, but they put the elephant in Disneyland.
Yeah, you know how Disney works.
Uh-huh.
He's really cool, too. He has little lights all over him. So our buddy Robbie can go buy one out in Disneyland. That's crazy, John. I thought it would be here. I thought it was here, too. Good thing you made me read the rest of it.
You have people over at Trader Sam's going, hey, Doug said it was here.
Well, good thing I didn't. I would have been in real trouble, wouldn't I? But anyway, let's move forward with some more of this news, these rumors. Did you see the gingerbread replica yet at the boardwalk? It's a gingerbread boardwalk replica. It really looks cool, John. You should when you do your little trip over to from the studios to Epcot, you should browse in here and check out the gingerbread boardwalk bakery. It really looks nice. They did a great job. It's not as big as the one at the Grand Floridian, but it's very nice.
I always like the carousel at Beach Club anyway. So, yeah, you can stop by and check both of those out. It's a lot of fun.
Now, did you hear anything about the new Spy Class Grill and Restaurant at Disney Caribbean Beach Resort set to open in early 2018?
Is that going to be the one on top of the roof?
I'm not sure. I think that one's on top of Coronado Springs, isn't it? That's where that one's going to be. This is going to be in the since the massive overhaul Old Port Royal Center Town began a few months back at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, details has been scarce on exactly what new dining options would be open when they open next year. Disney is now posting job opportunities at new eateries set to open in early 2018, providing some information on new resort counter service locally called called Spy Glass Grill. While details of Spy Glass Grill are scarce, is the way it was written. We know that it will feature Coca-Cola freestyle machines. Disney is currently looking for existing cast members to fill the role of the new location. The Spyglass Grill name has now been previously announced. The venue is rumored to be located between the pool and the beach in the Trinidad South at the resort. The writing on this is bad. I mean, it's like, how can we tongue twist this? There's going to be more lounges and shops, and venues will also be part of the complex when the complex is opening sometime next year. So this one's going to be low. The one that's going to be on top, Johnny, is the one at the Coronado Springs. That's going to have the rooftop view.
So. Yeah. It's got a cool name. So, and hopefully it's located a little. One of the complaints about Caribbean Beach has always been the size of it. So hopefully this place is maybe a little more centrally located for people staying in some of the farther buildings.
Yeah, it was a hike getting to Old Port Royal. I will say that. I enjoyed the restaurant, so at Old Port Royal. I enjoyed my stay there. The only reason I haven't been back is I just loved Riverside that much more.
Well, I mean, that's like saying, you know, we stayed at All-Star Sports one time or All-Star Music one time, and I enjoyed my stay there. Doesn't mean I'm going to go back if I had my choice between, Riverside or back to All Stars. But it's not like I had a bad time. It's just I found something I liked even more. So
yeah, and that's the deal. I mean, it like I said, I won't mind. And now I took Coronado over Caribbean Beach because it's a little more relaxing on the next one. But the point is, if I can get over to Riverside, I will. You know, that's where I want to stay. I mean, when Caribbean Beach is all said and done, I might try it again, but I don't want to stay there during the construction. I mean, at least with the Coronado Springs, all the restaurants and the food court, all that area is the same. I'm not going to knock on somebody's door and, are you serving the food here? What room am I looking for here to get fed?
That's what it kind of sounded like when we talked to the other day when we did the trip report.
With Evan.
With Evan. He was saying that it was a transitioned room that they had made into. But it didn't sound like it upset him too much.
He had a good time. He did a great trip report for us. And I'm sure it was beautiful. It is a beautiful resort. But, yeah, I don't want to knock on – was it room 714 or 716 that had the sticky buns that I wanted? I mean the Spectrulab debuts in a barren wasteland of inventions at Epcot. Are you going to go by and see Spectrulab, John?
If there's something new there and we're at, just another reason for me to have to go over to Epcot. So, yeah, I'll have to use that as an excuse to get over there, right?
Yeah, you'll have to go over and grab yourself a Le Fin de Mont and check out the new Spectrulab. I don't know. The Spectrulab is this... blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get to try to do the cliff notes here. The new Spectrulab recently debuted inside what left of Interventions and Future World at Epcot, right across the way from the Colortopia exhibit. And then there's a full recording online. You can go to YouTube and check out all of it. Spectrulab is saved by a pretty interesting final third of the show, but otherwise a fairly boring and poorly put together offering. So head over to YouTube. You can see videos on Spectrulab. I don't know. It's just the problem that's with Interventions to me is anything they put up is like behind. It's kind of like buying a new computer. By the time you get it home, there's three new versions already out.
Yeah, or a phone. You got 6 months on it when you're current. That's it.
Yeah, I just think I just would like to see both Interventions buildings become rides.
I think rides or some kind of a show, some kind of an attraction there, as opposed to, because I think Interventions worked in 82 to 90 when some of that technology was out there, or it was coming and they were able to showcase it a little bit. But I think nowadays with corporate piracy and stuff like that, I think any companies that do have some new technology that they're going to come out with in 5 to 10 years, they would be afraid to put it out there because they're afraid that their competitors would take a look at it and be able to replicate it and get it out to market before them. So I don't know if Xbox or Sony or anybody like that is going to be willing to put some of their stuff that they're working on to have people look at for that reason. So
it's just I enjoyed it the first few years we went down. I couldn't wait to get into Interventions for what you were saying, to see what new technology there was, because they actually did have some things that I had never seen. Back in 97, 98, you know what I mean, John? There was things that, it was cool. Now, everything I see in there is already, I know about. There's nothing surprising me with.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame because I don't remember ever seen going in there and seeing like cell phone technology or smartphone technology. I don't remember them ever saying, in 10 years you're going to be able to have this handheld computer that you tote around, you can talk on, and or even drone technology. I don't remember, it would have been cool, 15 years ago to see drones in there and maybe have them explain to you that, in a couple of years people are going to be able to buy these things and eavesdrop on their neighbors, which I guess is what most people do with them, but nonetheless, it's pretty cool technology.
The coolest things I did in there, I did like the storm house. I like that. That was because I'm in construction, so I kind of like that. I like to be the one that knew all the answers. Act like the cool guy. like when they did, what's stronger, two doors or one big door in the garage?
Yeah.
And I knew two because you had the center support. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Things like that, and the different roof tiles and what's better and stronger. But that was about it. And then I'd play a couple PlayStation games that I already knew, but I could play free PlayStation games and try them out. So I had to buy them and then ride in the Segway. When they got that in there. Remember, you had the little boxed-in area where you could ride on the stupid Segway and everybody looked at you like you're an idiot? Because it was me. Everybody normally does look at me like I'm an idiot.
Now, I remember actually when going in there as a kid, and everybody would stand behind the one person that would have enough gumption to pick up the video phone and call the cast member to make a reservation for later on that day. And that was so cool for a video phone at that time. Nowadays that's with Skype and with all this other stuff, it's incredibly common to do a video phone. But at that time, it was pretty trippy. So.
Yeah, there was no – now there's no surprises, but I did enjoy Interventions back then, but I think it's time for it to just move – you know, do something else with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Moving on.
Yeah.
But there's – there's so much empty space and wasted space at Epcot, especially in – well, only in Future World. I mean, World Showcase is pretty packed with what they have open and stuff, but Future World, that whole left-hand side is just – come on, guys.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, let's segue over to did you see Frozen move their Fast Passes from 11 a.m. up to 9 now? You can get Frozen Fast Pass for your favorite ride on the planet at 9 a.m. now?
I don't know if it was my favorite or if it just utterly amazed me.
Oh, my goodness. You should put that on your Christmas card, that picture, dude.
Me looking at the Christmas lights.
Yeah, what you should do is Photoshop a Santa hat on you, and it'll look like, and you can tell everybody Santa's coming down coming down with a sleigh tonight.
Be like Elf. Santa, yeah. Santa,
Santa. Oh my goodness. Breaking list of interactive exhibits at the new NBA experience. This is coming. When is the NBA experience showing up, John?
I don't know. Let's take a look.
2019.
Oh, so we still got a year before that is open, huh?
Yeah, for the ticketed experience inside. Oh, so you're going to have to pay extra to go to do it. That's what it's saying. For the ticketed experience inside, exhibits will be distributed over two very tall floors. So many of the activities will be quite large and surrounded a center court atrium area. The center court area in the middle of the is reminiscent of the circular venture port entry area that was Disney Quest. So it is somewhat surprising that they bulldozed the building rather than reuse it. No, it's not surprising, dude. This is somebody who wrote this who knows nothing about what it takes to reuse something. It's harder to run wire. So what are you going to do? Knock the building down and rebuild it and run your wires and all your technology through the building, through the space and area that it was designed through? Or are you going to go in there like we're doing on the library and you're in there with jackhammers and drills and it's so much harder retrofitting the building than it is building it new. So yeah, it was easier bulldozing it than would to be to redo it. So perhaps at one point they wanted to reuse Disney Quest building, but it just didn't completely work out for their needs. No, it didn't. But anyway, on the first floor, guests can enter through the ticketing area, go through an entry tunnel, and walk out on the center court. Exhibits downstairs will include locker rooms, Hall of Champions, hoops, scenes. What is this, John? SCIENCES. Signages?
Hoop Sciences.
Sciences. And a pair of large VR virtual reality theaters. The retail shop and dining venue also on the ground floor, but do not require tickets. Oh, so you, of course I can go in and pay and eat for, and you know, buy a meal.
Shop? Yeah, no, you have shop. To be able to shop.
As you can see in the art above, the retail shop is on the left and the dining venue is on the right within the entrance of the exhibits through the center. The second floor will feature Papa Shot, Dream Dunk, Big Shot, You Can Make the Call, the Dream Court. One of these experiences is rumored to utilize the simulators from Cyberspace Mountain as they were maintained and removed from Disney Quest, which labels marketing them as a property of the NBA experience. While we still don't know for sure what all these exhibits are, although some seem easy to figure out based on the names, we at least now have a list of things that we'll be able to do on the inside of NBA themed interactive playground come 2019. I am so sorry about how I read that, but I got to read these articles and rewrite them apparently. Was it me? I know it was me reading it like an idiot, but I mean, I don't understand how the writer wrote it. It's just so tongue twisting. I mean, it made no sense to me.
Some of the phrasing was a little odd in that one. So
it was like,
I don't know. Are you heading over to this place when you
absolutely
when it's open?
Yeah, because I'm a big NBA fan. By the time this comes, you know, Ben Simmons and Embiid ought to have their second championship, and we ought to be very featured inside this whole pavilion. What
Good
do you
deal.
Think? wishful
back
thinking,
when,
but.
Back when Orlando Magic had Shaq and Penny Hardaway and stuff in the 90s, I was a basketball fan. But I don't know. My team has sucked for so long now that I'm not a big, huge NBA fan. I do like college basketball, and I watch that quite often. But I'm just not huge into the NBA. But nonetheless, this looks like it'd be kind of fun. I just know if it was an NFL experience, you wouldn't be able to get me out of it. But yeah.
No, I think it'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. I think with especially me now with how exciting the Sixers are. I mean, right now we got five or six guys on this team that I really, you know, love as players, and it's been since I've had a player on this team that I've actually liked.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched them when they went 9-73. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I watched the games and suffered through them, but now we got, you know, Fultz, we got Embiid, we got Ben Simmons, we got Saric, we got J.J. Redick, we got a ton of really good players on this team now that moving forward that I'm really excited. It's a place, the rumors are now LeBron wants to come here. And
really?
I don't know if that's the rumors. That if you read the news and speculation, his contract's coming to an end at Cleveland, and this will be the team. Was him and Ben Simmons are supposedly really close.
I thought he went back to Cleveland. That's where he wanted to retire and stuff.
No, he wants to go where he can win.
Okay.
But we'll see. I don't know if I want him. I want to win on my own. I don't know if I want him here. You know, I'm not the biggest fan. I give him all the props of how great of a player he is. He's phenomenal, but I don't think he should have ever left Cleveland. No,
yeah.
But that's me. I'm old school. You know, but I'm looking forward to the NBA experience. I wouldn't mind going in, pop a shot, and doing a little crossover on Brenda, hitting, you know, a couple jump shots on her. You don't know my wife. She'd punch me in the tummy and steal the ball and score the basket. She's very competitive.
There you go.
She don't like to lose, man. She does not. And I don't let her win because it's rare that I do win. So if I have to beat her at basketball, I have to do it because I don't win at anything else. Basketball and Toy Story. But anyway, do you have anything else you want to cover? Anything happened at the parks that you've had? You haven't worked there in a few weeks.
No, I actually worked last Saturday and Sunday. I just had this weekend off. Not at the parks, but from Orlando, I would like to say a big congratulations to the UCF Knights, Orlando's hometown college team. Undefeated season, a big win in their championship game yesterday, and a Peach Bowl bid for them, probably. So great season, and it was nice to see. Unfortunately, they're, of course, a small team like UCF has a good season, and their coach gets hired away. So, but,
well, that's what happened to us here with the Temple Owls. We lost our coach, and he ended up leaving because Penn State's my team, but I also follow Temple because they're right over the bridge. I actually worked at Temple. I did the dorms and stuff there. And they lost our coach. It was like one of our first winning seasons. We were in bowl game. We ended up we beat Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? It was like,
yep,
they were up and coming,
and
they're
gone.
Now they're horrible again. They got a new coach, and you know, a couple Temple players made it to the NFL, which is rare. You know what I mean? And now they're back to being Temple again. So, but anyway, John, that's good. At least, have you heard who your Florida coach is going to be yet?
Yeah. Yep. We have Dan Mullen. He was the head coach of Mississippi State and Mississippi State. He was tired of hearing the cowbells. So, but yeah, he's moving back to Florida. He was the offensive coordinator for the Gators, I think 2005 to 2008. And we won two national championships during that time. So I'm excited to hear it. There are some naysayers and stuff like that. People not too excited. But I think Dan Mullen's going to fit in really well at Florida. So,
well, that's
excited.
Good. You could be the first one. You said it here. If nobody believes you, you can show them the proof that you like it. I gotten in many, many fights. If you look and listen to our local radio station about Doug Peterson, first of all, he has a great name. You know, Doug. Yeah, I mean, how can you go wrong with Doug? But anyway, no. As soon as he was, I hated Chip. Everybody, you know, around here when they hired him, they wanted to call him Chipacheck. I called him anything but that. I didn't like him from day one, and I was known as the number one Chip Kelly hater in Philadelphia. I was actually named that in the Philadelphia area on WIP and then 97.5 The Fan around here. And now when they hired Doug, everybody hated him. And now they're all on the bandwagon. They call him Andy Reid lackey, and he was our fourth choice, and blah, blah, blah. Thank God. One of the original ones was the Giants head coach. He's doing very well right now. But we ended up with Doug, and I called up and said I love the choice. And now everybody's jumping on the Doug bandwagon. So you could be on your coach's bandwagon now, Johnny. Say you like him. But you can't run from it if you're wrong.
Everybody loves a winner. So, I mean, you know.
No, I'm welcome aboard, but I don't mind welcome aboard. And a lot of the fans are saying they changed their tone and they admit they were wrong. But I just don't like the one that I know that hated to begin with and then acted like they never did. You know, I don't mind if you say you're wrong, but don't act like you were on board from jump. Because I'd say like 5% of the whole town was on board from jump. So.
Yeah.
But I hope you have a winning season. It can't be worse than what you went through the last couple.
No, it's nasty. Now, last year wasn't too bad, but this year it was disgusting. So, yeah, well, I'm excited to see what happens. So.
See, I think the biggest problem is, and this is where we go with social media and everything else again, with football in general and any sports now, whatever happened to, if the coach is, if he's a good coach, whatever happened to riding it out? Like I think they fire him way too early. Like, our Philadelphia Flyers, the players stink. We've had some of the – almost every coach that has left here is going on to win a Stanley Cup or been in the Stanley Cup Finals after he's left here. You know, Nashville Predator, we had their coach. He was ours. Every coach we've had – we've had the best coach. We have stinky players. When does it ever become the players aren't good enough? They whatever happened to, like, sticking with a coach for some years? Look at the Steelers with Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher was a good coach.
There's only a couple of teams that stick through thick and thin with their coaches. Other than that, they give them what, one maybe two losing seasons, and then you're gone.
So. And I think it's the pressure of, like I said, with the social media, they're all over them. It's the pressure that the coaches, the colleges, the pro teams get from the media. That's all they hear 24/7 is the coach stinks, the coach stinks. And I think it brainwashes them. Our coach stinks. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the problem. When do the players ever get blamed? I mean, I could see there's some coaches that, like Chip Kelly, that do stink for the NFL. He'll probably do good again in college because that's what he's designed for. But I just think it just shows the whole way we're going on all jobs. I mean, you're fired way too fast now. Don't you think they pulled the trigger way too quick?
Yeah. No, they immediately get rid of anybody that has, and not only in sports, but anything else. If there's anything that is remotely disagreeable about you that comes out, you're fired. So automatically. Yeah. So
no, it's just today is this. I don't know. It's crazy with football and you don't know. I mean, I've been through more coaches in the last 10 years of my life than I was the first 40.
Yeah, I grew up as a Miami Dolphins fan. I had Don Shula, and that was it. So it was great. I had Don Shula and Dan Marino the entire time. So,
yeah, you can't go wrong with that. And just like with Gruden leaving you, so he should have just stayed there. Now he's talking about coming back again. But anyway, we've been everywhere this show. Politics, news, sports. It's the Sunday show. Sorry, guys. We do 90% Disney, 10% nonsense.
A little bit of rambling.
Yeah, but we like to ramble. But anyway, John, now you've done another weekly pint. Last show you told me you didn't, you did. So what's going on with this weekly pint podcast?
Yeah, we had another episode come out. Unfortunately, it's an episode about Food and Wine Festival. Well, the Food and Wine Festival isn't even open anymore, so I'm not exactly sure. Like we talked about at the beginning of this show, how topical is that if talking about beers that you can't try? But nonetheless, it's an entertaining show because you can hear the kid crying behind me. I'm at Epcot, so it's pretty funny. So,
anyway, what we'll have to do is, John, you could report on the same beer that you're doing on that, so at least you know it's going to come out weekly on this show. So you can call it the Weekly Pine WDW Main Street Pub Podcast.
That sounds good. I'll probably have to work into that because I don't think this other one's going to work out. So,
but anyway, if you want to go listen to a review on food and wine, go to the Weekly Pine Podcast. And also you can find John online at Beer Solo. You could go over to our website. It's all in WDW, and check out all the latest articles. Our John did an article. Dennis did an article. I didn't do an article, but anyway, Dennis did it's a review. It sends you back to 410 when we had our good buddy Den on to do the show. He did his trip report, and he talked about the STK Steakhouse. So if you want to go back to that show, Bob has it listed in that article. And Bob does a lot of wonderful has a lot of wonderful articles on the website, so head over to It's All in WDW. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. And please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We've had a couple more. And, John, remind me to read them on next week's show because I really want to get them out there. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to go over and leave us a review. So head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. We're always here at the pub. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon.
Bye-bye, folks. Take care.
Bye. Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.